Jaya Radhamadhuva Kunabihari. Jai Hurad Umadhova Kunabihati. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharata Gautri. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharata Gautri. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jano Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jano Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna te Ravana chalati. Jai Hurad Humadava Kunabihati. Jaya Radhamadhuva Kunabihari. Gopi Jana Vanaba Iri Bharatari. Gopinana Malaba Kiri Bharatahote. Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janu Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachyade. Yamuna Tira Banachyade. Jai Hurad Umadava Kunabihati. Jai Hurad Umadava Kunabihati. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padamahansa Paravidakacharya Asa Tara Satashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanara Vatavarana Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Rem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadigo Rabakta Vrindakijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kundrata Kunda Giddi Govardhan Kijai Vrindavadam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimari Tulasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani Namase Saraswati Devi Gaurani Pajani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Deja Tarni. So Om Magana Timadanda Shaganjana Shilakya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our Nectar of Devotion study, and we're on the ninth chapter of Nectar of Devotion. And before that, as we usually do, we're going to recite one of the stanzas. You know how to do that? You know, as I go ahead, you know, just like. We're going to recite one of the stanzas in the Goswami Ashtaka written by Srinivas Acharya. So, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarane Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Mandena Nataliko Mande Rupa Sanatano Rakuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. The translation is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So for those of you who are not familiar with this book, Nectar Devotion, some of you may not be familiar, this is a summary study of a book written by Srila Rupa Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the initial followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that book is called the Bhakti Arasam Arita Sindhu, which means the ocean of the nectar of devotional service. And this book is, as Srila Prabhupada said, the law book for the Krishna conscious movement. Law book meaning gives general directions on how to execute bhakti, not only how to execute bhakti, but what to expect as one advances in devotional service. You know, because there's different stages of bhakti. There's initial faith, ado, shraddha, tata, saru, sango, ta, bhajana, kriya. In the beginning, there's faith, and then one begins to associate with the devotees and then execute the items of devotional service, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti. One gets rid of the unwanted things in one's heart like lust, anger, greed, envy, fear. So anybody who's free of those things, please raise your hand now. No, nobody's raising their hand here. Anyone online? You can raise your hand in the participant portion there. No one's raising their hand. So anyway, so therefore, and that's the next stage. And then after anartha nivritti, then you have nishta, becoming fixed in devotional service, ruchi, having a taste in devotional service, ashakti, being completely absorbed in Krishna and detached from the material world. And after ashakti comes bhava, spiritual emotions, and after that, prema. And then there's higher stages of prema too. There's vipralamba prema and there's samboga prema. And I'm not going to get into all those discussions. So primarily, the Nectar Devotion deals with what we call Abhideya and Prayojana. Does anyone know what that means? No. Abhideya? All right, I'll describe what that means. Like, there's three aspects of Krishna consciousness. Three. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means to understand Krishna, his energies, the soul, the time, the material world, all those other nice things. Just to understand them theoretically. Abhideya means how to become Krishna conscious or how to make advancement in spiritual life. And Prayojana deals with the goal of spiritual life, which is what? Back to home, back to God, or the higher stages. So Nectar Devotion doesn't deal that much with Sambandha. The book, if you want to find out about what the soul is, who God is, what the nature of the material world is, what time is, what karma is. Does anyone know what book you should read? What? Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is primarily Sambandha. I mean, there is Abhideya too, like when Krishna says what? Manmana, Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. That's Abhideya. You know, what should you do? Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, you know, thus you will come to me. And a little bit of Prayojana, like Yad Gatwa Nanivartate Ta Dhamma Parma Mama, which is a hint at Prayojana, you know, the goal. Like one who leaves, goes back to God, it doesn't have to come back to the material world. That's a hint. Or there's another verse in the Gita. Natad Bhashyate Suryo Nashashanko Napabaka Yadgatwa Narivartante Tadama Paramamama, which means when you go to that abode, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, or electricity. Everything is self-luminous. So a little bit of information, a little bit of information about Abhideya, and a little bit of information about Prayojana, but primarily Sambandha. So this Nectar Devotion deals primarily with Abhideya and Prayojana. And so the initial portion of the Nectar Devotion deals with Abhideya, the process of connecting to Krishna. Once you understand the tattvas, which is the Sambandha. And then the last portion of the Nectar Devotion deals with Prayojana. So now we are dealing with the process of devotional service. In this particular chapter, which is chapter 9 of the Nectar Devotion, which is called Further Considerations of Devotional Principles, we're in the middle of this chapter because we have this evening class that everybody's invited to participate on or in. And this class is on my Zoom channel, and it's also on my Facebook page, Facebook timeline, BK Goswami Das, and everybody's invited to watch it and participate. And tonight we have 32 people on Zoom, and I don't know how many people are on Facebook. So we're going to continue with our reading, and then I comment on each section or as I'm reading. So one of the principles, or the principle we're going to read about now, is called dancing before the deity. So, and each time there's a recommendation like dancing before the deity is made, or any of these recommendations here in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives quotes from the authorized Vedic literatures to verify or substantiate that particular recommendation. So in other words, he's showing that you just don't pick recommendations for spiritual life out of the air. It has to be based upon Shastra. Shastra comes from Krishna. Dharmam tu bhagavat pranitam. Dhammam tu chakshat bhagavat pranitam. So today we're going to talk about dancing before the deity, and we'll continue with this chapter. Dancing before the deity. In the Dwarka Mahatmya, the importance of dancing before the deity is stated by Lord Krishna as follows. And this is also up there on the screen for those of you who want to follow along with us, and also those who are watching on TV can follow along with us. Thank you. Oh, a person who is in a jubilant spirit, who feels profound devotional ecstasy while dancing before me, and who can manifest different features of bodily expression, can burn away all the accumulated sinful reactions he has stocked up for many thousands of years. Pretty interesting. In the same book, there's a statement by Narada wherein he asserts, from the body of any person who claps and dance before the deity, showing manifestations of ecstasy, all the birds of sinful activities fly away upward. Just by clapping the hands, one can cause many birds to fly away. Similarly, the birds of all sinful activities, which are sitting on the body, can be made to fly away simply by dancing and clapping before the deity of Krishna. So one interesting point as one reads this injunction is, they may say, I do not feel like dancing. And usually, if you watch the lower portion of our Zoom thing here and also Facebook in the morning, you'll see that most of the devotees are not dancing. Most of the devotees are just, at best, shuffling because they've just woken up in the morning and they're thinking, okay, I got to come here. This is part of the regulated practice of devotional service, but let me be here with my body, but not with my mind. It's like sometimes you go to class in the university and your mind is somewhere else. Well, the teacher speaking, ever happened? Yeah. Your mind is somewhere else, is with Krishna. That's good. So anyway, so one may think, you know, I don't feel like dancing. What am I supposed to do? But the interesting thing about Krishna consciousness is, even if you don't feel like it, if you do it, you will feel like it. It's interesting. Even materially, it applies like that too. What do I mean materially? Well, let's say one, it's time to exercise. Like before you exercise, you know, I try to exercise every day. You know, the body doesn't feel like doing it. The body feels like, hey, you know, sit down, play with your computer, do something, you know, go on a Zoom conference. We have all these wonderful Zoom conferences that start, isn't it? Early in the morning, go till late tonight at night, because we got to keep up with the people in India and Australia and New Zealand and everything like that. It's just like, you're getting a taste of my life now. So that you don't feel like it. But then actually I've seen, you know, once I start exercising, you know, you get things rolling. You actually feel like it. And spiritual life is not a material facility or not a material understanding. Spiritual life, when you do it, even if you don't feel like it, you actually feel happy. That's important. You actually feel, turn the camera around. Hi. So you actually start to feel really happy when you do it. And the point is to get off the mental platform. You do it, or when you start chanting your rounds in the morning, or you cook for Krishna, or you take care of Krishna. Just like this morning, you know, I woke up, came to the temple room. I was pretty happy. But then I discovered there was no one who woke the deities up. And I was thinking, what? Where is that person? And then I thought, well, it has to be me now. So I ran into the altar, you know, didn't run into the altar, properly purified myself, went in, and then it was happy. I was meditating on Krishna. I thought, well, Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's made me do it this morning. So sometimes when you do something, you actually begin to understand it. So here the statement is that if you just make yourself dance, showing manifestations of ecstasy. Now, in the beginning, you may not be ecstatic, but if you show manifestations of ecstasy, I mean, not too much, obviously. We don't want people like screaming, rolling on the ground and, you know, pounding on the floor or something like that. But really, like like we've had experience. We have one new devotee, which is not here right now, but who really just gets ecstatic and dances. And then I'm just amazed at all the advancement that she's making just from doing that without even knowing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's really amazing. So all we have to do is get people to dance and chant, because that's our dance and chant to the holy name, not just dance and chant to a Bollywood song. I have to make that clear. It's not just dancing. You know, you can't dance a Bollywood song in front of the deities. But of course you can, but you shouldn't. So, but really that's all you have to do. And then, wow, you begin to feel ecstasy. You begin to understand things. You know, the understanding of Krishna consciousness becomes clear to you, you know, as long as you're following certain principles, like not taking intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting. So this is actually a very important principle. And that's what Prabhupada really taught that. And if you look at some of the early videos that were taken in 26 Second Avenue, you'll see a lot of wild dancing there. I mean, it's not that wild compared to sometimes what we have here. But anyway, it's, you know, people just like all sorts of like whatever dancing. And Prabhupada just encouraged that. I mean, ultimately, Prabhupada did teach a particular style of dancing, but if someone feels ecstasy, they can dance in other ways. Prabhupada had his Swami step, which is like one foot and another foot, you know, swaying back and forth. But Prabhupada sometimes would go to Kirtan and start jumping at, up and down in ecstasy. There was actually several Rathyatras where Srila Prabhupada would just be jumping up and down for several miles throughout the whole parade, because Prabhupada was in so much ecstasy. So you see many pictures of the early days of ISKCON, many videos of the devotees just like jumping up and down. And when Prabhupada would have his Guru Puja in the morning, because every morning Prabhupada would have his Guru Puja, and it was sometimes it was actually after class, sometimes before class. I remember both things. But in any case, Prabhupada would have his Guru Puja. And if the devotees weren't dancing, Prabhupada would go like that. You know, a little bit more subtle than that, not like me. Something like that. And especially if there was this one devotee, Brahmananda, there, who was quite heavy set. Prabhupada would just, and he'd start jumping up and down, and he was so heavy, you know, he got everybody else dancing. So we can't, or we shouldn't underestimate the importance of dancing for the deities. It's very, very important. Even if one doesn't feel like it, you do something. You know, many times we do things that we don't feel like because we know it's good for us. You know, like we may take medicine. Of course, it's not exactly like medicine. But in the Bhagavad Gita, we talk about happiness, or Krishna talks about happiness in the mode of goodness. And that happiness sometimes is like difficult or poison in the beginning. You know, especially if you're feeling tired or something like that. And then at the end, it's like nectar. Whereas happiness in the mode of passion is what? Does anyone know? Anyone know what happiness in the mode of passion is like? What's it like in the beginning? Nectar in the end, it's like poison. It's the opposite. So to get spiritual happiness or transcendental happiness in the mode of transcendental goodness, sometimes it's you got to do something that, you know, takes a little bit of effort. It's not a lot of effort. So the next one is bowing down in front in honor of the deity. In the Narada Purana, Naradiya Purana, there's a statement about bowing down and offering respect to the deity. It is said there, a person who has performed a great ritualistic sacrifice and a person who has simply offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord cannot be held as equals. The person who has executed many great sacrifices will attain the result of his pious activities, but when such results are finished, he has to take birth again on the earthly planet. However, the person who has once offered respects, bowing down once before the deity, will not come back to this world because he will go directly to the abode of Krishna. So, you know, pious activities, of course, Gita says, what shine punye macha lokam vishanti. After one works out or uses up his pious activities, then he has to go back to the earth planet. It's like, I guess like pious activities, I was thinking this, is like taking a reverse mortgage on your house. Does anyone know, you know what a reverse mortgage is? No, most people don't know what it is. That is, many people, when they get old, they are living in their house and they don't want to leave their house to their kids. So they go to the bank and they take a mortgage out, and it's understood at the end of the mortgage, they don't have to pay the mortgage. The bank pays them every month for the value of the house. And then after the bank is finished, the bank owns the house and they have nothing left. And the bank takes advantage of all the increase in value of the house. So it's like that too. Like if one is just like working out his past pious activities, one is enjoying life. And then when the pious activities run out, you see that even on this earth planet, let's say, hate to make reference to this again, but anyway, let's say someone gets a very high political position and they're really riding nicely. And then all of a sudden the pious activities run out and they got the coronavirus and everything goes wrong. It's like that. It's like when your money runs out, that's it. And you got to get back to work. Of course, getting back to work as far as getting pious results means doing pious activities. You can't just like say, hold it for a second. So that's the problem with pious activities, but bowing down before the deity is not pious activity. You never use up the benefit you get for worshiping the deities. It's always there. Every time you bow down, it gets put in your eternal spiritual book. Here's the next one. These are actually ecstatic things. Now, here we are in the temple, and we're reading about these different activities that can help us in devotional service. Standing up to receive the Lord. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said, a person who sees the Lord's Rath Yatra Kar festival and then stands up to receive the Lord can purge all kinds of sinful results from his body. Of course, we have Rath Yatra. And in many temples in India, they do have the Utsava Murtis, where they take them in. I was talking about this the other day in class, that I was in Sri Rangam, and they have these smaller deities of Lord Ranganath. And they have this beautiful, gigantic palanquin. Actually, the palanquin is bigger than this table, actually four times as big as this chair, the seat of the deities, just the seat. And the rest of the palanquin are these giant logs that are like this thick, actually maybe this thick. And they're long, and there's like 10 men or maybe even more carrying them. And they take the deity to different people's homes, different Brahmins' homes, actually, not just anyone's home, to different Brahmins' homes. And the Brahmins make offerings to the deities, and everybody from the city is following the deity. It's a very wonderful procedure. And also sometimes in, Tirupati, Tirumala, they do the same thing. And they even have these swing festivals for the deity outside, and everybody follows the deity, and they're swinging the Utsava deity. Utsava means like festival deity. So following the deity. Next one is going to the temple of Vishnu or place of pilgrimage. It is stated in the Puranas, persons who attempt to visit the holy places of pilgrimage, like Vrindavan, Mathura, or Dwarka, are actually glorified. By such transcendent traveling activities, they can pass over the desert of material existence. That's very wonderful. In the Hari Bhakti Sudhoya, there's a statement about the benefit of visiting the temples of Lord Krishna. As we have explained previously, in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, the system is that all the devotees take advantage of visiting various temples situated in those holy places. It is stated in the Hari Bhakti Sudhoya, persons who are impelled by pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness and who therefore go to see the deities of Vishnu in the temple will surely get relief from entering again into the prison house of a mother's womb. The conditioned soul forgets the trouble of living within the mother's womb during birth, but it is a very painful and terrible experience. In order to make an escape from this material condition, one is advised to visit a temple of Vishnu with devotional consciousness. Then one can very easily get out of the miserable condition of material birth. Now, many of the holy places in India, here Prabhupada is making reference to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, you'll see actually all these older people, you know, widows and retired people, just go from one temple to another early in the morning. And in Jaipur is actually a temple city where Radha Govinda, the deities, are situated. Those deities were originally in Vrindavan, and they were taken away to escape from the Mughals who attacked Vrindavan. And you'll see that everybody comes, or basically all the pious people, come to see Govinda in the morning. And when they open up the curtains in the morning, everybody is chanting, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Some of you might have been in Jaipur. I've been there many times. And then they circumambulate the deity. It's very beautiful. And it's part of the king's palace grounds where the deity is. So it's practically a regulated principle that everybody should see the deities regularly. Now, those of you who don't live near the temple can go on the internet. We have our Mangal Arti on the internet, my Facebook page, and also on Mayapur TV. But my Facebook page is actually much, I mean, I hate to use the word nicer, but the videography is nicer because the expert photographer zooms in on the deities' faces or on the pictures on the altar. And it's very wonderful to watch that. And you can hear the kirtan and join in and partake in Mangal Arti in your own home, even in these COVID times. So it's important to take darshan of the deities every day. I mean, that's culture. Just like even myself, if I'm going somewhere, I'll go before the deity, before I leave. And when I come back, you know, as soon as I get cleaned up, I'll go before the deity, you know, every day. And even sometimes in the morning, I have these conference calls. So right after the conference call, or shortly thereafter, I'll just go to see the deity. I won't neglect seeing Krishna. Actually, it would be an offense to neglect seeing Krishna. Next one is circumambulated the temple of Vishnu. It is said in the Hari Bhakti Shuddhodaya, a person who is circumambulated the temple of Vishnu can counteract the circumambulation, repeated birth and death of this material world. The conditioned soul is circumambulating through repeated births and deaths on account of his material existence, and this can be counteracted simply by temple. And of course, I do that every morning when I circumambulate three times around the outside of the temple. And most temples do have that arrangement. And also, the deity temple inside and increase the deity facility. Day and take advantage of going around the deep rainfall outside. So it's day. Months of the rainy September. I'm shocked. Person propagate Krishna consciousness, a holy place of pilgrimage, and regulations which are strictly followed. If someone circumambulates, by such circumambulation, all the holy places where they in the regularly be service. So these
first.
While going to the house of a Krishna, one can easily achieve all over the planetary systems. Forming the yoga system. And are as follows. Shri Krishna and Balaram were feeling hungry. Went there, the Brahmas refused. Palatable. Mahasha also the ever blissful Loka, and of course here to the story which was the out doesn't need because what a perfect spiritual we need to eat. If you don't eat, then we don't get energy. Try it. It's Krishna. Our hunger, our stomach starts, or mouth, we start. Well, was hungry for the voice is cutting. You can't hear me properly, or what? Oh, we may have to record. So the people. Cutting my bandwidth down. They say Facebook is good. Sometimes. That was Zoom at this point. Anyway. All right. As we're starting to talk about now. So what happened in this particular story? It's the right time. Balaram, because Balaram knew he was, whereas everyone. To the Brahmanas and the Brahman, and so then the coward knew they ignored us. Brahmanas for the food, and the Brahman he brought the food, not and brought it. She and their husbands were saying, where are you going? But yeah. And also they wanted a relationship. And Krishna said, go back home and your husbands will be nice to you. And they did. Okay. In service to the Lord. Then any person who can arrange for service to the Lord in the same way that a king is given service by his attendants is surely elevated to the abode of Krishna after death. Actually, in India, the temples are just like royal palaces. They are not ordinary buildings. Because the worship of Krishna should be performed in just the way a king is worshipped in his palace. So in Vrindavan, there are many hundreds of temples wherein the deity is worshipped exactly like a king. In the Naradiya Purana, it is stated that if a person stays in the Lord's temple, even for a few moments, he can surely achieve the transcendental kingdom of God. The conclusion is that those who are rich men in society should construct beautiful temples and arrange for the worship of Vishnu so that people may be attracted to visit such temples and thereby be offered the opportunity of dancing before the Lord or chanting the holy name of the Lord or else of hearing the holy name of the Lord. In this way, everyone will be given the chance to elevate himself to the kingdom of God. In other words, even a common man simply by visiting such a temple will be able to attain the highest benedictions, not to mention the devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness. In this connection, there is a statement in the fourth canto, 21st chapter, verse 31 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, whereas King Prithu says to his subjects, my dear citizens, please note that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is actually the deliverer of all fallen conditioned souls. No demigod can perform this act of delivering the conditioned souls because the demigods themselves are conditioned. A conditioned soul cannot deliver another conditioned soul. Only Krishna or his bona fide representative can deliver him. The Ganges water, which is flowing down from the toe of Lord Vishnu, falls upon the earthly planet and other planets, and thereby delivers all the conditioned sinful living entities. So what need is there to speak of the deliverance of persons who are always engaged in the service of the Lord? There is no doubt about their liberation, even if they have stocks of sinful activities from many, many births. In other words, a person who is engaged in the worship of the deities can minimize his stock of sinful reactions coming from many, many previous births. This process of worshiping the deity has already been described, and one should try to follow these rules and regulations seriously. So here in Nugalaka, of course, we follow the rules and regulations, particularly Prabhupada mentioned punctuality and cleanliness. That everything should be very timely and everything should be very punctual. So it was dropping out on the internet, or? That's good. Okay, singing. In the Linga Purana, there's a statement about glorifying and singing about the Lord. It is said there, a Brahmana who is constantly engaged in singing the glories of the Lord is surely elevated to the same planet as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna appreciates this singing even more than the prayers offered by Lord Shiva. Oh, there's our band. Okay, get yourself set up and we're just continuing the class. So singing means kirtan. That's our process. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi, Taripavartana. In this day and age, Kaler Doshanadhe Rajan, Ashjeko Mahadguna, Kirtanad, Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brijet. They're all bad qualities, but the one good quality is simply by chanting, singing Krishna's name and glorification of Krishna and prayers about Krishna, one can go back to Godhead. And in a few moments, we're going to hear some original prayers and songs about Krishna. This is a special debut. This is the first time in the public eye this is going to be done. So anyway, we're just going to read one more subject matter here. Next one is Sankirtan. When a person loudly chants the glories of the Lord's activities, qualities, form, etc., his chanting is called Sankirtan. Sankirtan also refers to the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Vishnu Dharma, there's a statement glorifying this process of congregational chanting. My dear king, this word Krishna is so auspicious that anyone who chants his holy name immediately gets rid of the resultant reactions of sinful activities from many, many births. That is a fact. There's the following statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. A person who chants the holy name of Krishna once can counteract the resultant actions of more sinful activities than he is able to perform. A sinful man can perform many, many sinful activities, but he is unable to perform so many that they cannot be wiped out by one single uttering of Krishna. That's amazing, isn't it? One single uttering. Whether the uttering is done inadvertently, jokingly, that's called namabhas, meaning something else, the name Krishna is so powerful. Okay. We're almost finished. In the seventh canto, ninth, Maharaj Prahlad offers the following prayer. If I can be elevated to the position of your servant, then it will be the supreme for pastimes or counteract all his sinful activities. But simply, I shall get out attachments. Activity. There is the Brahma Narda no still taking advantage of them. So why at this time should one not take full advantage and thus become liberated? In the first canto, fifth chapter, verse 22 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni tells his disciple Vyasadeva, my dear Vyas, you should know that persons who are engaged in executing austerities and penances, studying the Vedas, performing big sacrifices, chanting the hymns of the Vedas, speculating on transcendental knowledge and performing charitable functions have for all their auspicious activities simply to gain a place in the association devotees and chant the glories of the Lord. It is indicated here that chanting about glorifying the Lord is the ultimate activity of the living entity. And that's mentioned in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangamangalam Anghasam Mahatama Pai Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. And that's mentioned in the regard to a conversation. All right. Which they Shukadeva Goswami is first testing his disciple, Parikshit Maharaj, by telling him, yes, they can just do some atonement or a prayaschitta. And Parikshit Maharaj refuses to accept this particular explanation. He says, no, it's like an elephant bathing, because when an elephant bathes, Kunja Shoshara, when an elephant bathes, he throws dirt on himself. So if you simply do prayaschitta, yeah, you may cleanse yourself, but then you'll do the same stupid activity again, and then you'll have the same reaction. So it doesn't help you in the long run. It's not permanent. And so Shukadev Goswami understood that Maharaj Pariksit had passed the test, because sometimes the disciple will be tested by the spiritual master, telling him or her to do something that's not proper. That's an interesting story. One time a devotee approached Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas." But wanted to see his determination. And the next day he comes back to Prabhupada, or several days later, and introduces Prabhupada to his fiance. So he didn't pass the test. So Shukadev Goswami was testing Maharaj Pariksit, and finally the conclusion that he gave, which Maharaj Pariksit accepted, was Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu. The Sankirtan, or the chanting of Lord Vishnu's name, Krishna's name, Jangan Mangalam Anghasam, it is the most auspicious activity in this impious universe, Jangan Mangalam Anghasam, Mahatama Pi Kauravya, that the great souls do it and they recommend it. Vijakantika Nishkritam, it is the best way to overcome any sort of reaction that you may be entitled to by living in this material world. So, on that happy note, we're now going to see a musical performance. Are our musicians ready? So, okay, are you going to do it from there, or can you? Braja here, and she can turn the camera around, and I'll put the microphone on in the camera. So we're going to have a transcendental musical now. Just want to remind everybody, addition, Ryan, did you have any announcements? Just remind everybody, we're here during the COVID times, and please, if you have the opportunity to sponsor the temple, I know you can't come, or some of you can't come, so if you can at least send some contribution via PayPal and nugaloka108@gmail.com, or go on our website, Nugaloka website, or find some other means. Or contact Aditya Narayan Prabhu. So now we're going to see a musical performance. So wait a second. Let me switch the microphone.
Okay, I'm going
to have here, present, and the camera. Okay, so we're very fortunate to hear the Nectar Devotion. And now
we are very fortunate to see an original musical musical performance that nobody has seen before, right?
Well, you've seen it. Yeah, people.
You need the.
You want to get closer to this because you're using the microphone there.
Yeah. So is there no way to bring it over here?
No, the microphone's in the camera.
Okay. So get closer to them.
Yeah, microphone is in the camera.
Okay.
Switch microphones. Because that's a that's a microphone that can take in everything. But this microphone is just for the direction.
Hey, you guys, if you can get any closer to yourself, to you, like bunch. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. That's gonna be
Yeah, that was better.
Yeah.
Could you
describe what
the song
was
about?
You want me to describe? Yeah. So we're the Banyan Leaves, and this song is called Medicine. And the whole idea is that Krishna's names and instructions are our best medicine for our material condition, and that's really our only solace, and I think that real that mood kind of comes out in this song.
Was it antidote?
Yes.
So
Thank you.
So we want to thank these wonderful devotees. This is a new generation, Hare Krishna devotees, and thank you for doing an amazing job. Very inspiring. Next week, you're invited too, every week. Come up with new songs. How about that? Okay. You want to do a Hare Krishna tune?
Right now?
Yeah. All right, next week. Next week, you're right. Okay, next week. Okay. Thank you very much all for joining us online. All those who felt that.